I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order and note for the record that a quorum is present and welcome back to committee. So we're going to change the order up just slightly. We have a full house here, so we're going to take up House File 4411 first, Representative Freiberg, the election supplemental budget bill. And then we'll move to the taxes and then workforce and economic development. And I believe Laura is going to start back up at 2:30 today. So we'll try to get through everything and give members enough time to go back, go to the floor. So hoping 2:15 would be the time, a desirable time to end the committee today. So we'll move forward with that being the idea. And so with that, we'll just get down to business. And first is the approval of the minutes from Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Vice Chair Edelson, a motion for approval.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Motion prevails and the minutes have been adopted. So Representative Freiberg, we'll take your bill up first. And so Representative Freiberg moves House File 4411 be placed on the general register. And you have an A5 amendment as well. So Representative Freiberg moves the A5 amendment. So if you could describe your amendment, and then once we go through the amendment, we'll go through the full bill, but we'll take up the A5 first.
Sure. This amendment removes the provisions related to ranked choice voting and places the funds in the voter fund for local governments. I still strongly support ranked choice voting, but we still need to do some work on this provision. It is still moving as a standalone bill, House File 3276. Which is also currently in Ways and Means. My hope is we can get the issues resolved before the end of session, act on House File 3276 as a standalone, and get the ranked choice voting local option enacted into law. So that's what the amendment does, and encourage members to support it.
Thank you, Representative Freiberg, and I know you've been working really hard on this issue, and I know you're going to continue to work as well as the bill author, Representative Frazier, and as you mentioned, the standalone bill is in Ways' possession. Discussion to the A5 amendment. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Freiberg, what are the issues with that provision, with the ranked choice voting?
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you. We still need to work with some members and refine the language a bit.
Representative Garofalo. Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Freiberg. I understand that you still need to work with members on that. You said it before, but what are the issues that need to be worked on?
Representative Freiberg.
That's sort of in the eye of the beholder when you talk to the members that we'll be working with. So it's still an open question. So just want to make sure everything is resolved.
Lee Garofalo.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Freiberg, I didn't bring the amendment to committee, so normally we're an appropriations committee, but since you brought up the policy and you've offered the amendment, can you tell us the members who have issues with this?
Representative Garofalo, that's not appropriate to impugn names or motives. A bill is still being worked on. Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair, again, I'm not impugning anyone's motives or questioning why they would. It's unusual to have a provision brought up to this committee the manner that it's been brought up. And the author said that he was going to be working with people. Just in light of the new reality of the legislature, I'm wondering if this side of the aisle is going to be involved in those conversations, or if it's just going to be... Is it not going to be? Is that appropriate to ask? Can I ask if that's all right?
Representative Garofalo, yes. I think that line of asking the spirit of to be consulted with and work with, I thought you were asking for names of people that he was, and I thought that was inappropriate. Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had the same understanding of the question as you, so I appreciate the clarification. Yes, happy to take any suggestions you have. If you'd like to work with me on it, Lead Garofalo, I'd be happy to talk to you at any point.
Okay. Lee Garofalo.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, because I didn't bring this amendment, what I was asking was, the issues that are being brought up, these concerns, I've asked what the issues are, and there's a unwillingness to, it just says it needs to be worked on in a specific issue. So what I asked what members, if it involves Republicans, if we're the ones that are the problem that you're working with, seems like you're happy to work with us. I guess I'm just trying to narrow down, is this a concession to make the bill more bipartisan and get bipartisan support? Or is it a concern with sort of a one-party bill? I'm trying to figure out what side of the is it the blue pill or the red pill, Representative Freiberg? Which way are we going here?
Representative Garofalo, again, I just want to say that I think anybody can work with Representative Freiberg and Representative Frazier on the bill. You know, it takes 68 votes to pass a bill. And those can be blue or those could be red, and I'm sure Representative Freiberg and Representative Frazier would be happy to work with any member of of the legislature on this bill. So, Lee Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I don't view this questioning as particularly confrontational. I'm trying to figure, like, things changed last week, right, without getting into specifics. And I'm just trying to figure out if this is being done to address the concerns of Republicans or if it still needs to be addressing the concerns of DFLers. That kind of sets the tone for where we're going to be going in the next 3 weeks. And if that's not a question you feel comfortable answering, then feel free to say you don't feel comfortable answering, and I'll stop asking questions.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Lee Garofalo. If this amendment causes more Republicans to support it, that's great. I can say the events of last week have nothing to do to precipitate, nothing to do with the origin of this. I'm just still working on the issue. I do think ranked choice voting is something, if you just do a poll of Democrats and Republicans around the state, it's something with broad bipartisan support. That may not as much be the case in when you're dealing with legislators who sometimes don't always reflect the exact partisan makeup of that. But, certainly if you want to vote for the bill either before or after this goes out, I'd be glad to have your support, Representative Garofalo.
Okay. Lee Garofalo.
Thank you. And, Madam Chair, perhaps I should just take a step back. I recognize that I have been known in the past to be an instigator and provocateur, and perhaps that's why Representative Freiberg is being a little bit more guarded than I was expecting to be. I did not read this amendment. I was busy watching the Timberwolves sweep the Phoenix Suns last night. So I'm not familiar with this amendment. I did not see it. I'm sure it was posted and it followed everything. I didn't see it. There were conversations going on last week about that we would be kind of changing things. I was just trying to get to the root because I'm literally just got here. So I did not mean to be pointed, Representative Freiberg. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. So with that, I guess it's a good thing that the amendment is being proposed, and I would encourage people to adopt it, I guess. Thanks.
Further discussion to the A5. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails, and the A5 amendment has been adopted. To your underlying bill, Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we did not have a huge budget target in the Elections Committee, so this summary should not take an inordinate amount of time. The bill supports local election officials through the Voting Operations Technology and Elections Resources, or voter account, and ensures open and transparent information on who is influencing our local elections. The bill provides support in multiple areas for our local election officials. It redirects unused and unusable Dropbox funds from 2021 to the voter account and supplements that with additional funding. There are also funds provided to the Secretary of State's office to reimburse local expenses related to claims under the Minnesota Voting Rights Act, where the jurisdiction is actively remedying the violation. The Campaign Finance Board has provided additional funding to notify local governments and update their system to accept disclosures in local spending by political committees and political funds. The way the bill kind of handles some of those transfers related to the voter account is somewhat complicated. I should have probably warned her beforehand, but I was thinking it might be helpful to have Ms. Roberts walk through that provision of the bill. She did do the same in the Elections Committee, so I know she can handle it.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Roberts. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff. I can just kind of walk you through the language of the bill because I think that's where the confusion comes in. The first section of the bill is amending session law from the 2021 session, and the purpose of these changes is to make clear that the appropriations for the voter equipment grant account, we call VEGA, and then the Dropbox grants were one time. They remain in the base for the Secretary of State's office, but the next sections of the bill reallocate that funding to the voter account. So that's what's happening in section two of the bill. The changes to the appropriations are those reallocations plus the additional funding for just the additional funding for the voter account. And you can see the total amount for the voter account at the bottom of page two on lines 2.31 to 2.34. So $2.25 million in the first year and I'm looking at the wrong number, sorry. Those have been updated now with the amendment that just passed, but that's where you'll see the total funding for the voter account. And then finally, under Section 3, this is, again, a transfer from money that is from the Vega account, moving that again into the voter account. So the total after the amendment that just passed for the voter account is $3 million in fiscal year 2024 and then $3.3 million in fiscal year 25.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Representative Feiberg, anything further on bill walkthrough?
No, it's a good bill. I would encourage members to support it.
Thank you. Discussion to the bill. Lee Groffalo, anything?
No, Madam Chair, I would just encourage members to work together and get a collaborative, productive end of session. And I would urge a no vote on this bill, but would encourage the author to work with the other side of the aisle to achieve that. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, final word, Representative Freiberg.
Thank you. This bill supports our local governments and increases transparency. I would encourage members to support the bill.
Great. Thank you. So Representative Freiberg renews his motion that House File 4411, as amended, be placed on the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and House File 4411, as amended, has been placed on the General Register. Thank you, Representative Freiberg. So our next bill on the calendar for today is House File 5247, Representative Gomez, the Taxes Supplemental Budget Bill. And as Representative Gomez makes her way to the table, I will move on Representative Gomez's behalf that House File 5247 be placed on the General Register. And Representative Gomez also has, there's a technical amendment to your bill. Would you like me to just move that amendment straight away?
Yes, please, Madam Chair.
Great. So Representative Gomez moves the A-12 amendment. And would you like to just briefly explain the A-12 amendment, please?
Sure. Taxes really cleared the room here, huh? So this is mostly mostly technical changes to a provision having to, the first part changes a provision having to do with a Supreme Court case about nonprofit housing known as Alliance. There are a couple of changes to provisions having to do with property tax abatements and exemptions for tribal nations. Basically has the exemption expire if the use changes in the future. There are the kind of middle part of it is about the local sales tax changes. Let's see. And the end of it removes some provisions from the Department of Revenue Policy and Technical Bill. I mean, I could go through them all, but probably nobody's that interested, but open to questions, of course.
Thank you, Representative Gomez. Discussion to the A-12 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A-12 amendment has been adopted. To your bill as amended, Representative Gomez.
Yes, thank you, Chair Olson. So I'll just kind of walk through the bill briefly and focus on the kind of big money items since we're in Ways. So in Article 1, which concerns income and corporate franchise taxes, you kind of have the centerpiece of the bill. Overall, my target was $53 million in the first year, $5.23 million in the tails. We did spend to the target. In Article 1, the biggest kind of thing we're doing is providing a safe harbor for advanced periodic payments for the child tax credit that we passed last year. It means that low-income families will have access to that money quarterly or monthly. They're kind of working on it and ensuring that if there's an overpayment, that the family doesn't owe the money back to the Department of Revenue. Article 1 also contains an expansion of the child tax credit to 18-year-olds. It contains a direct file option for Minnesotans, kind of dovetailing with what the IRS has been piloting this tax season. Article 2 has to do with property taxes, mostly not a lot of general fund impact there. There is a one-time increase to the local homeless prevention aid in the first biennium. of $5 million. Article 3 is mineral taxes, no big general fund impacts there. Article 4, sales and gross receipts taxes, same. Article 5 has TIF provisions, which don't have a general fund impact. Article 6 is the policy changes to local sales taxes. Article 7 contains a couple of provisions having to do with special local taxes. Article 8 is the public finance bill. And in Article 9, which is the miscellaneous section, there is House File 4831, which is an increase in taxpayer assistance and outreach grants. We made a lot of changes to the tax code last year, and we just really need to continue the work we've been doing this year to ensure that people know about those changes. Also in Article 9, there is a one-time increase in county SCORE grants for recycling from the solid waste tax. And there is an Emerald Ash Borer aid. Articles 10 through 13 contain the Department of Revenue technical bill. And that's the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gomez. Discussion to the bill as amended. All right, Lee Garofalo, he really wants to eat his lunch.
No. Okay.
No. Representative Early Garofalo.
They can't see that on camera. You just outed me, so.
Madam Chair, Representative Gomez, you know me pretty well, and in light of my revealing my cards earlier that I may not be as well informed on the agenda as I normally am today, what provisions do you think in this bill I would find most objectionable?
So in Article 1, excuse me, Madam Chair, I can tell you exactly which ones you won't like, actually. In Article 1, in the income and corporate franchise tax sections, there's a corporate tax base erosion study and a corporate tax disclosure bill from Representative Greenman, which you probably won't be into. I mean, those are like the main things, I think. There's Section 530, which is a federal part of the Internal Revenue Code that allows companies to misclassify workers if it's industry practice in a certain, within a certain industry. We are decoupling from that provision. That's something you also might not be a fan of. But other than that, it's pretty unobjectionable, I would say, if I had to project from your perspective, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Gomez, I'm going to assume that when you say there's a study about the erosion of corporate taxes, that study is not focused on Minnesota's very high tax rates and overburdensome regulations as a reason for why that erosion is taking place. I'm going to go on a limb and say that perhaps the study is focused on other theories about why we're losing corporate tax revenue.
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Representative Garofalo. So what we have seen, and probably if you go and ask your constituents what they think about, you know, Amazon, a multi-billion dollar company, for example, paying no income taxes, no federal income taxes, likely no state income taxes while they pay income taxes, they would find that kind of objectionable. We have a similar situation with state income taxes as we do with federal income taxes, which is that what we've seen over time, especially during COVID, is the biggest corporations in our country made record profits year over year over year. And yet if you look at the line of record profits and the line of corporate tax collections, there's a divergence. And so one would think, because for us as regular taxpayers, as our income goes up, when you have progressive tax rates, which you do at the federal level for both individual income and corporate income, and in Minnesota we also have a progressive income tax system, what you expect to see is that as your income goes up, your tax liability also goes up. And that's true for us. It's true for regular people who pay taxes. It's unfortunately does not seem to be true for the biggest corporations with the best lawyers and the best accountants. And so, you know, it does not certainly prescribe a policy answer to that issue. It asks our Department of Revenue to take a look at that trend over time and to present us with what some public policy answers to that might be. Because what we know is that, you know, if corporations are making record profits and not paying into our system, the system of public goods, which makes sure that we have, you know, public safety response, it makes sure that that roads are plowed and that they're patched up when there are holes in them. And if corporations aren't paying into that system, we are asked to pay in more and more. Small Minnesota-based businesses that are not, you know, giant corporations are asked to pay in more and more. And so that's kind of the intent of the corporate tax erosion study, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gomez. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Gomez, so I just thought I'd pull up the budget forecast to make sure that my fact-checking was right. And this biennium, corporations in Minnesota are paying record amounts in corporate tax revenue. It went from $3.8 billion to $5.7 billion. It's forecast to increase to $6.2 billion. How much more do you want?
If you look, Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, so if you look at the trend line with respect to corporate profits and the trend line with respect to Minnesota collections, you will see that they don't track exactly right. So yes, corporate tax collections in Minnesota have gone up year over year for the last several years. And even, you know, I mean, when we get those kind of our monthly revenue collections, a lot of times we've been ahead of our projections. But it's not commensurate with those profits. And so that is what this corporate tax base erosion study is really trying to get at. Because, yes, you can, like, both collections and corporate profits are going up, but there's a gap in that kind of proportionality between those two measures.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. So corporate tax revenue, I'm just looking it up here, it went up 50% between the 2021 and 2023, the next biennium. 5-0, it went up 50%, but that's not enough. So I'm going to have to vote no on your bill. I'm just glad I found a reason to do it now. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Gomez. You made a comment there that you said companies that have expensive lawyers and accountants, do those companies have different tax laws that they follow?
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Chair Olson and Representative Kreisha. You'll notice that I didn't imply that anybody was not playing by the rules in having expensive lawyers and expensive accountants, but it's just a fact. Minnesota-based small businesses, my Main Street businesses, your Main Street businesses, simply don't have the kind of, you know, access to the kind of professionals that help them engage in legal tax avoidance strategies. And, you know, if you can certain, you know, you can read kind of the literature. I mean, there's basically an industry of legal tax avoidance strategies in this country. It's a powerful interest group. They effectively lobby to increase the opportunities for corporations to offset their tax liability. And, you know, they certainly, we all have, or there's one set of policies, of laws. The Internal Revenue Code applies to everybody, regardless of how good their lawyer is. But, you know, unfortunately, over decades, our tax system has been influenced by powerful interest groups to create legal tax avoidance strategies that companies engage in. And, you know, I think that there's a question about whether that is in the best interests of the Minnesota taxpayer, of the Minnesota business that's maybe not organized as a corporation and is organized instead as a pass-through entity. There's question about whether that puts, you know, the individual income taxpayer in Minnesota, whether that's in their best interest. So that was what I was referring to, Madam Chair, and Representative Kreisha.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so just so I understand, so you did say in there the tax code applies to everyone the same, regardless of how much your lawyer makes. Is that correct?
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, if you want to say something, please do.
I'm just asking a question.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Nash.
I'm done.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Gomez, question for you. The Department of Revenue reporting thing that is going to require that corporate tax returns become publicly available, can you tell me where that was modeled after? Because in my precursory search, I don't find any other state having done that. And I'd just like to know where that that piece of language came from.
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Chair Olson and Representative Nash. We didn't model it after another state.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it's safe to say that that exists nowhere else in the country?
Representative Gomez.
Chair Olson, not that I'm aware of. You know, Minnesota leads sometimes on things, and so this is something that I'm proud of us for taking a step forward and saying maybe this is something we can lead on.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Gomez, federal income tax does not require disclosure, much like your provision would in your, I guess you're claiming it to be Minnesota exceptionalism. But is that also true?
Representative Gomez.
Chair Olson and Representative Nash. So certain publicly traded corporations do have to disclose tax-related information to the Securities and Exchange Commission. We don't receive commensurate information even about publicly traded corporations and their interaction with the Minnesota tax code. And so just to be clear, the intent here is so that we as policymakers have the information that we need to make public policy decisions about whether it is that corporate tax scheme taken as a whole, which does include a corporate franchise tax, but also includes a number of exemptions and tax expenditures that corporations benefit from, whether that's having the intended outcome. So there certainly is information. We don't have that information, even about those large publicly traded corporations, about their Minnesota tax liability. And that's kind of the idea, is aligning it a little bit with some of those federal disclosures that have to happen.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I'm still trying to discover what the intended outcome of doing that is, and more importantly, what is the commensurate cost to the department to handle now all of this information and begin making it publicly available, and to whom is it going to be made publicly available? Is it the legislature only, or are we just going to open up the floodgates to my next door neighbor being able to search on all these things?
Representative Gomez.
Chair Olson and Representative Nash, it would be available publicly. It has certain information that's on, it asks the department to put certain information that's on the M4, which is the corporate filing form, on a publicly accessible website. There's a 2 to 3 year kind of lapse in that information, so that, you know, it wouldn't go up that exact year that the M4 form was filed, that it would go up 2 to 3 years afterwards, so that kind of to alleviate some of the concerns about, you know, information that's proprietary being available publicly.
Representative Nash.
Well, thanks, Madam Chair. And this is not the type of Minnesota exceptionalism that I'm signing up for as a vote, so I will be voting no. I encourage others to vote no. We have decided to be, or you have decided to be, the Minnesota outlier so many times, and I think that to Representative Garofalo's veiled point, was the reason that we're having so many people leave the state is for this very reason, that we are treating corporations flippantly and punitively, and this is not the kind of thing that I want to sign up for.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to see you, Representative Gomez. Always good to see you. I was remembering back to when you first served on the tax committee. You and I were on the tax committee together, and we were going through the tax index study, and we were looking at what are the most regressive and least regressive taxes. And I remember so clearly in your first term, and you looked at that and went, oh, my gosh, corporate taxes are the most regressive, right? And so I'm really curious, has something changed since then? Are corporate taxes not the most regressive taxes anymore?
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Representative Olson, Representative Rarick. So the Corporate taxes are included as income taxes, and so they are not the most regressive of the major tax types. The most regressive of the major tax types is sales taxes, followed by property taxes, followed then by corporate taxes, I believe. So when we get the tax incidence study, it assigns a measure to each tax type called the Suits Index. Mm-hmm. And so it does indicate that one of the assumptions that contributes to that measure for corporate taxes is, whether it gets passed on to the consumer. And it does show in that study that part of it gets passed on to the consumer. However, I guess I have... I've learned a couple things since that very first year. And, there are a number of different ways to analyze a tax system. And, so from my perspective, progressivity and regressivity are one of those ways, one of those measures that you want to apply as like a kind of lens through which to evaluate a system. But if you over rely on that measure versus, sufficiency, stability, there's a number of different kind of ways to think about kind of the different components of a tax system. And what we have is sort of like a diversified economy in Minnesota. We have a very diversified tax system because we have our progressive income tax. And we have more regressive tools that we depend on. But what you'll see, right, is that if you look at the history of corporate collections, it's one of the more volatile sources of revenue. And so it's not the kind of tax that you'd want to build an entire budget on, and we don't. I mean, corporate taxes are... as a part of the mix of revenues in Minnesota are relatively small. And for some reason, I always have my little blue book. I don't have it with me right now. Otherwise, I could tell you exactly how small it is. But you need to balance. When you have ongoing expenses and ongoing costs related to providing the public good for our constituents, you need a healthy, diverse mix of revenues. And so some of those revenues that are the most progressive, for example, the capital gains tax, are also the most volatile. And so what we do in Minnesota, the choice that we have made over decades, and the choice that I continue to try to support, is one that balances those concerns around progressivity and regressivity with, sufficiency, stability, adequacy. We need to have a system where we can meet the needs of our people. And so that includes relying on various different tax types. And so, when taken as a whole, I'm really proud of our tax system, and I think that it stands up as one of the best in the country.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I see you, it's still a regressive. I don't know that it's one, two, or three. I don't have that study in front of me, but it's still incredibly regressive, and it does get passed on to the consumer, and we certainly have seen skyrocketing inflation. The other side of it is we've seen a loss of some of our big corporations in Minnesota, and it may not be the totality of the headquarters, but we are losing investment in Minnesota. And what I mean by that is way back, when I was in my first term, for example, I went to a Cargill facility in my district. And I was met with the corporate heads who were very adamant that because even back then, over a decade ago, because of the difficulty of doing business in Minnesota, they will no longer build another facility in Minnesota. And they haven't. They've gone to Iowa, they've gone to other places, but they have not built again in Minnesota. We are losing the possibility of expansion, and sometimes we're actually losing the entire corporation altogether. And my concern with this, whatever we're trying to equalize and trying to make it fair, whatever we're trying to do here, are we really just cutting off our nose to spite our face? Because we are making it so difficult to do business in Minnesota that not only are big corporations not expanding in Minnesota, and they've made a hard line in the sand, and they said, we're absolutely not doing this again, but we are making it more expensive for consumers. We're going to see even more companies. You know, we've got all kinds. When I was probably about a decade ago, I remember the number was 19. We had 19 Fortune 500 companies. I don't know the number today. It's not 19. But we have big places, not only Cargo, we have GM, we have Toro, we have Medtronic, we have, you know, all kinds of them in Minnesota. How are they going to respond to this tax policy and regulations policy? Every time they turn around, it is yet more difficult and more difficult to do business in Minnesota. And my concern is, yet here is one more thing. So now we're going to take some of their, right now, non-public data and make it public. We're going to do a study to see, are you paying your fair share, which, by the way, it does get passed on to the consumer. And then that causes inflation for the poor and middle class, for everybody, but it's exceptionally difficult for the poor and middle class. So this is just another march towards that of driving out businesses, small and large, because there are smaller businesses that are also corporations, by the way, not just big ones. But we're driving them out. We're making it more expensive for the consumer, and quite frankly, you're causing shrinking of corporations in Minnesota. So I'm going to absolutely oppose this bill, and I'm really sad that this is in front of us today.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Chair, and I just wanted to make sure to correct the record about the point about there being this massive outflow of people from our state. There was a report came out very recently from the state demographic center, and I encourage folks to look at, which shows that while there was a slightly increased losses in 21 and 22, those have really gone back to the historical pattern in 2023, and consistent with kind of the pattern since the 60s and 70s of, you know, Midwest states losing population in the Sun Belt. It's not unique to our state. There was a column in the Star Tribune that discussed this. I'd encourage folks to look at over the weekend. And Susan Brower, state demographer, saying it's not just Minnesota, it's the Midwest, and it's not just the Midwest, it's the Midwest and the Northeast. A variety of states that probably doesn't have to do with individual policies, et cetera. It's flows of people that are much more moderated in this last year. So as Chair Gomez has referenced, we have a state that has made a decision decades ago to put us on a certain path that has worked out really, really well for our state economically and in terms of the quality of life for folks in our state. And to my mind, the work that we've all been doing, and certainly Chair Gomez has been a leader in this, has continued that. And fortunately, the information that we're seeing, the latest data, confirms that is the case. Thanks, Chair.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gomez, we talk about the large increases in corporate profits. Do you have any idea of where those profits go, what they're used for?
We can go to Representative Gomez, and we have about, I'll just say, a little over 30 minutes, and we still have more, and you're welcome to have, we're having kind of a pretty lengthy tax discussion right now that is a little out of the purview of Ways and Means, and happy to allow it, but do want to make sure we get through the rest of our bills. So, Representative Gomez.
Chair Olson, no.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Well, the corporations, the money just doesn't disappear. It actually gets put into reinvestment into productivity. It gets reinvested into our 401k plans and all the pension plans that we have out there as well. And I think somehow we've begun to villainize corporations for trying to reduce the profits that we all benefit in. Because of the things that are available, and yet every one of us that filed income taxes try to reduce our own tax liability. We take exceptions, we take all the other pieces that are available for us to actually reduce those taxes. And so I'm concerned that we continually villainize people that are just taking what is available to them and not really addressing what the long-term cost is of that. Because for all of us, if we want to improve ourselves, we have to become more productive, and that means that corporations need to provide for investment into productivity as well. And that's a lot of where those investments of those profits go. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Chair Olson. So more than half of corporate profits go to dividends and stock buybacks is what's been happening for the last few years. There's been more investment of corporate profits in dividends and stock buybacks in the last few years than there have been in about five or six decades in the country. So just to clarify that part, it doesn't all go to, you know, our 401ks. A lot of it goes back into maximizing the profits for the corporation and their shareholders. And, you know, I also just want to say that the kind of broadly to this conversation is that the value proposition of Minnesota has never been we are a very low tax jurisdiction. The value proposition of Minnesota has been we have one of the best educated, healthiest workforces in the country. We have a good infrastructure. We have a clean environment. We have a diverse economy. We are a place where people want to bring their kids and raise them. And so that's like the question that's inherent in this discussion about what kind of Minnesota we're going to be. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Novotny.
Chair Olson, Representative Gomez, thank you for giving me that lead-in, because I will be very brief in my comments, but I am worried about the Minnesota that you want it to be. I see Representative Pinto had left. I wanted to address very briefly his remarks about population changes and that we're stable. Nobody's disputing the fact that our population is stable, and for everybody that leaves, someone comes back. We've seen the Homeland Security buses unloading people, and have been at the airport when planes have been unloaded. I'll just close with a statement, and it ties directly into what kind of Minnesota do you want this to be, and why are we concerned on this side of the table? Margaret Thatcher is famously quoted, and it's one of the things I really agree with, and it applies as much today as it ever did. The problem with socialism is pretty soon you run out of other people's money to spend. Mm-hmm. And that is the train that's coming down the tracks, and we have no place to get off the way we're going. Thank you.
Seeing no one else seeking recognition, Representative Gomez, final word on your bill.
Thank you for the consideration and the conversation, Madam Chair and members.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, Chair Gomez renews her motion that House File 5247 as amended be placed on the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and House File 5247 as amended has been placed on the General Register. Thank you, Representative Gomez. And our next series of bills here are Representative Hassan. So we had just a typo with the bill number and the title of the bill. So House File 3449 is Economic Development, and House File 5205 is the Workforce Bill. So just for clarifying, I'm sure, I don't know how many people even, whatever, but make sure we do the correct things here. So Representative Hassan moves House File 3449 before the committee, and the plan is to lay this over, and then we're going to merge it with House File 5205 and also have a DE amendment. And we also have Chair Zhang also joining us for the workforce development part of the bill. So we have House File 3449 before the committee. Representative Hassan, is this Representative? Yes, Representative Hassan, this is the economic development. So to your bill, Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. After taxes, this should be an easy bill to just run through. The House File 3449 is the Economic Development Finance Bill. It has a couple provisions. We're moving the film and to Explore Minnesota, we also have funding for Minnesota Sports and Events Center for Special Olympics. It also has funding for also junior hockey. This bill follows the work that we did last year, which is supporting small businesses and trying to, bring aid to our small businesses and also human traffic to our, downtowns. Our downtowns have been empty, so the reason why there is two funding for, one is for junior hockey and one is for Special Olympics, is to get more people to stay in our hotels, to come to our downtowns, and to spend money in Minnesota. And then there is funding for Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency in Greater Minnesota, and as well as the Entrepreneur Fund for also Greater Minnesota in the Iron Range. And there is funding for Cal, Propel Nonprofits, Kijuk, and Fortis Capital. And then there is also policy change from DEED, and as well as four different programs that we funded last year. Some of them we created last year: Emerging Entrepreneur Loan, Expanding Opportunity Fund, Community Wealth Program, and Small Business Assistance Program. The biggest change on this programs, as far as policy goes, is just adding the tribal entities to be able to access economic development funds. I think that's all my bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. So discussion to House File 3449. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm seeing an awful lot of nonprofit money is going to nonprofits. Two questions. So what is the total amount given to nonprofits, and also what are the checks and balances? So what is the financial accountability once that money has gone back out?
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the economic development, there's not a lot of nonprofits funded. The workforce has more nonprofits, but I'll say this. Last year, we passed more accountability for nonprofits, but also DEED, which is also in the room, has the highest reporting mechanism, and is taking, you know, their time to do checks and balances. The funding that we passed last year, most of it hasn't been gone out because DEED is doing all the points that they need to do.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm just wondering, can you tell us a total? How much in total is going to nonprofits?
Representative Rarick and Representative Hassan, you can answer for your bill. Then we're going to do the workforce, and we can certainly do a total once we merge the bills, because I think you're probably talking more about the workforce portion, which we haven't actually described yet. Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, there is a couple nonprofits mentioned in here, and let me just say that my general target was only $1 million, but we canceled the $5 million for Bloomington because we didn't win the Expo Minnesota. So with this funding, I believe a little over half is going to nonprofits in Seven County Metro and Greater Minnesota.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll talk about it more when the second bill comes up. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Hassan, I notice on page 38, lines 38.12, you're sort of creating a new office within Explore Minnesota for film. Was wondering the cost of that. Second question you can answer at the same time is, how many movies have we made in the state of Minnesota lately based on the investment that we've thrown out there?
Representative Hassan.
And that doesn't include Representative Erdahl's movie.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Rep Nash. We are moving money around with the creation of this office. So there is the rebate money that a lot of it is not used. So we're not spending a whole lot of money with this. We're just moving money around. And I don't know how many movies were made because I'm not a big fan of movies. So.
Representative Nash.
You know what, Madam Chair, I'll just save it for the floor. We'll have more fun that way. But I'm just curious as to the parameters and guidelines that are going to be there. And, you know, we're obviously going to be growing some headcount, it sounds like. So those are the types of questions that I usually ask and always curious to. So we'll save it for the floor.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Hussein. Hassan. Thank you very much for including the nonprofit Special Olympics event that's coming to Minnesota, and I think that is a great part of your bill, and I'm really excited to see that event coming to Minnesota. So anyways, that's more of a comment. I know it's, but thank you.
Further discussion to House File 3449. Seeing none, final word on your bill, Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. This is a great bill. We took $1 million and made it $7 million. So I think we did a good job.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. And with that, House File 3449 is laid over. And so next we have House File 5205, which is the Workforce Development Supplemental Budget Bill. So Representative Hassan, House File 5205 be placed on the General Register. And Representative Hassan and Representative Zhang, welcome to the committee. So please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a use of $17 million from the Workforce Development Funds. If you look in the spreadsheet, it will list all of the organizations and municipalities that we are funding with the $17 million. On page 2 of the spreadsheet here. So start from the top, we have a Sabethany Community Center, Shakopee Workforce Pilot Program, P-Fund, Voters Option, GMCC, International Institute of Minnesota, the City of Austin, the Jobs Foundation, Hired, Equispace, Lakeview, Methodist Healthcare, Change Starts with Community, AICS, Women Venture, a Black Chamber of Commerce, a program to the meat cutting and butchery training grants to, I believe it's Representative Mueller's bill, Inspire, MSP, Summit, Academy, OIC, KOM, Indigenous Roots, some funds to go to Ramsey County for workforce development, Metro Youth Diversion. We have three bills in here. That's the Duluth Middle School Program, Proctor Public Schools Program, and Lake County Ambulance Program. That is Representative Zaleski's card spell. And then we have some funding going to City of Brooklyn Park for Chair Nelson, Riverside Plaza, ACER, Organization of Liberians, Equitable Development Association, HIRPHA International, CADUG, Leader Move, Higher Works Collaborative, YWCA St. Paul, the United Senior Lao American, Hmong American Farmers Association, Minnesota Zhejiang, Minnesota Family Resiliency, and to the county. And then we also have some provisions in here. One that was brought from my GOP lead, Dave Baker, that addresses some of the migrant farm workers not covered by UI. And then we also have some policy fixes here from Dean.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Discussion to the bill. Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. My question, and I don't know which one will address it, but how is the bottom line for the state's looming structural imbalance, or whatever you call the deficit now these days? How is this going to affect the structural imbalance that we're looking at?
Representative Novotny, I'm happy to take that. There, to Representative Zhang's bill, there is no, he had a zero general fund target. So this is workforce development spending.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Novotny, anything further? Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to out of the Workforce Development Fund, which typically we obviously is develop the workforce, and I'm wondering, I see all kinds of different entities. There's an awful lot of nonprofits again in this. Can you just tell me the how much we're giving to nonprofits, how much we're giving to counties, how much we're giving to cities?
Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Rarick. If you refer back to the sheet here, it'll list the nonprofits and municipalities, the other organizations in there. I don't have the math here, but if you want, we can have staff do the math for you and send it to you.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you. So, you know, I see one on here that keeps popping up, and it's interesting. This is the House File 3046, the Fraser Bill, and it's a nonprofit that came to the Energy Committee, the Climate Energy Committee, and we're giving them in the RDA money, so the Renewable Development Account money, non-general fund money, $5 million. That's what's in the bill, so that they can replace an HVAC system. So what is this same organization going to use $550,000 for? And by the way, I said this before in this committee and in the other committee, the Energy and Climate Committee, that the last time that they, so when you go on the IRS website, They have 990s. And on the last 990 that's publicly available on the IRS website, they have a total revenue, total budget of $2.5 million, of which $1.5 million is already government sources. Now, we're already going to give them $5 million out of the RDA, and now we're giving them a half a million more. What is that for?
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sebethany Community Center is in my district. It's this funding is for a job training. What they do is they take people who have only high school diploma or GED and put them through a training, and they partner up with Xcel Energy and others, and that once they finish that training, they can get a job as an electrician or as a welding person, and they can make six figures. So that is what this funding is for, and I just want to put it on the record that Sebethany Community Center is a great center. It serves the South, and the reason why we're giving them $5 million from RDA money is that the HVAC that they currently has poisons our community. We in the South Minneapolis area, or in that area, has the highest asthma rates. So changing that HVAC is actually, you know, saving lives and saving, you know, young children from getting asthma. Just want to put that in the record.
Representative Rarick.
Wow, thanks, Madam Chair. I've never heard that before. Okay. Because I thought it was a boiler system. So, okay. Interesting. That's an interesting item. That was in all the testimony I've heard. I've not heard that before. So that's interesting. Are they currently, this is just one. I'm sure there's lots of other nonprofits that are in the same boat. So is this money something, so out of that $1.5 million they're already getting for government sources, are they currently getting money from the legislature as part of that? You're saying that they're already doing this work. Are we already giving them money, and is this like an extension or additional money, or is this brand new money? We've never given them money before.
And we'll do one more question. And just if we vetted everything in Ways and Means, every nonprofit, you know, that was the purpose of the committee, and we're getting here and we're looking at the broader pieces. And I totally understand why you're asking, and we'll do that, but we won't be able to do that level of digging in on each of these budget item lines. We'd be here a long time. Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is specific funding is workforce training. And this is coming from the workforce dollars. What we do with the workforce dollars is work with communities so they can figure out the issues in their current area and train people for, you know, to get better jobs. In South Minneapolis, if you have a high school diploma, you get training and you can make six figures. That is, you know, really, really important work that you're doing. And I just want to reiterate this. A wise person this morning told me that if we care about local control and not growing government, nonprofits and the private sector is how we do it, and that's what we did with this bill.
Representative Burke, anything further?
Yeah, because, Madam Chair, I didn't actually get an answer. My only question was, are they currently getting money from the legislature to do the workforce development, or is this new money? That was my question.
Representative Hassan.
I think they currently have contract with DEED, so they are getting money, but I don't know if they're getting money for this specific project, and this is not my bill, Madam Chair, so I just know the community center, and it's in my district, and it's in my community, so I don't want to speak for the author of the bill, but I know that they are, you know, doing trainings, and they partner up with the private entities such as Xcel Energy and others.
Representative Rear.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my intention was not to go through every nonprofit. This is just an example because I happened to do a deep dive onto this one, and I looked at the 990, and they are getting money in other budget bills already. Like I said, they're already getting $5 million to replace an HVAC system. Now they're getting half a million here, and I still don't know if this is something that the Workforce Development Fund has paid for in the past, or is this brand new money? But this is just an example of all of these nonprofits. These are the questions that need to be asked. And we say that we're vetting nonprofits. Are we really? I don't know. And I work for a nonprofit. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, you know, you got to really dig in and see where is the money going, who's doing what with what. So I think that is our responsibility here at the legislature is to ask some hard questions. And unfortunately, I don't have answers here. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion to House File 5205. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hassan, the Workforce Development Fund, as you said, is focused on workforce development. And there's an appropriation in here for construction and equipping a building. Is that something that, is that common?
Representative Hassan.
I'm going to let the Chair of Workforce answer this one.
Representative Jean.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Garofalo. It is common. It has been done in the past. It is workforce related. It's about creating jobs.
Okay.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. And for the author of the workforce development side, obviously we've had an unprecedented expenditure of to nonprofits. There's a very prominent fraud trial that began this week. In your estimation, do you feel confident that in the appropriations that you have in your committee, that you have confidence that these dollars are going to be used wisely, they won't be abused, there won't be any fraud?
Representative Jean.
Madam Chair, Representative, I have full confidence in the Department of Employment and Economic Development. They are not the Department of Education.
Representative Garofalo.
Ooh.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, would you let final word on your bill, Representative Jean?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Okay, great. So we are going to do the mergers, and then we have a DE amendment, which makes some technical changes that then we'll process. We have a DE and an author's amendment, which I was assured is actually all the cleanest way and easiest way to do this. So with that, so we have House File 5205 in front of us. We have the DE Amendment A24-0318. Representative Hassan, would you move the DE Amendment coded A24-0318, which merges the Workforce Development Bill with the Economic Development Bill?
That's my motion, Madam.
Okay. Great. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those... Okay. Well, that's in front of us. Now we're going to do an A11 amendment. So Representative Hassan has the A11 amendment to the A24. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Would you describe your A11 amendment?
It's a language to clarify, and just clean up one of the programs. It just changed who's eligible and then changed the household income at or below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. It's just a cleanup amendment.
Okay. The A11 amendment is before us. Discussion of the A11 amendment. No. Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A11 amendment has been adopted. We have an A10 amendment. Representative Knorr, are you offering that? Okay, great. So Representative Knorr has the A10 amendment to the A24. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, great. We have the A10 amendment in front of us. Please proceed with describing that.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A10 amendment is just clarifying which areas to include in the Promise Act for the loan program and also for the grant program. We are not adding any additional funds. This is the area within South Minneapolis, adding Hennepin Avenue, South Hennepin, and also Uptown Special Service District to both the grant program and also the loan program. And this is on behalf of Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Representative Knorr, for batting for Representative Hornstein. Discussion to the A10 amendment. Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will accept this as a friendly amendment. Last year, we passed the Promise Act, which, helps businesses that were impacted by the civil unrest and some businesses in greater Minnesota. And this is just to include Uptown and some parts of South Minneapolis.
Great. Discussion to the A10 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A10 amendment has been adopted. I don't see any further amendments. And so we have that. And so now we're going to adopt the A24-0318. Representative Hassan renews her motion to adopt the A24-0318 as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails. And so last word before we move to the final vote, Representative Hassan or Representative Zhang. Anything more?
Nope.
Madam Chair, members, I just want to reassure everyone that Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development does a very thorough check, even if we somehow can't vet it through here. Once it goes through deed, they're very thorough. In fact, we have organizations who have been around for 20, 30 years who are still in the process of waiting on getting their funds from the department. And so with that said, thank everyone here and looking forward to your support.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. So with that, Representative Hassan renews her motion that House File 5205, as amended, be placed on the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 5205, as amended, has been placed on the General Register. And with that, we have no more business today. We will be back at 9 to do public safety, judiciary, and higher ed budget bills. So we will see everybody tomorrow at 9 a.m. And with that, we are adjourned.